Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films, The Yellow Wallpaper, You Won't Be Alone, and Nitram. Hi, David. How are you?
I'm doing okay, Jill. How are you doing this week?
Equally okay.
Glad to hear that. And I'm sure you could have made
lots. But you noticed that I didn't. Right.
Out of these titles, if it weren't for Nitram being in there, which is a little hard to work into any sort of linear discourse, but we'll get to that film in a little while. I will say at the get-go here that all three of these movies are, to one extent or another, pretty dark, especially The Yellow Wallpaper and Nitram. But again, we'll get to Nitram in a little while. Let us start with The Yellow Wallpaper. This is based on a very famous and frequently anthologized story by Charlotte Perkins Gilman, which came out around the end of the 19th century. So we're dealing with the past here, and that's pretty much when the movie takes place, too. The movie, which was directed and co-written by Kevin Pantuti. And it is, as I said, a very dark story. It is about a young woman, probably sometime in the late 19th century, who is suffering some kind of a very profound malaise. And her husband, who is a physician, takes her off to live in what looks like a very nice place, very nice house in the country. It's supposed to be sort of a rest cure, I guess, that will enable her to recover from this. It's obviously a very deep depression that she is in. And she has a newborn baby. And we sort of get the flavor of the movie a little bit at the very beginning when some of the people are heading out towards this country place where she is meant to rest and recover from her emotional, psychological ailment. And she is carrying the baby in her arms, and suddenly she flings the baby out the window of the carriage in which they are riding. Well, it turns out that didn't really happen. It was apparently some sort of an illusion or hallucination, or perhaps just some horrible fear that suddenly overcame her, which we then see on the screen. But the point is, we know right away that this is not going to be a cheery movie. So again, these people are pretty well fixed, and they have this nice country place. And the woman, who is just known as Jane, there are people to look after the baby for her, so she doesn't really have to worry herself with that. She's just supposed to rest and recover herself. She likes to write, but she's been instructed by her husband not to write because that seems to increase her anxiety. And of course, that leaves her with pretty much nothing to do. And that is what the movie is about. And the movie is called The Yellow Wallpaper because poor Jane becomes really sort of fixated, obsessed with the yellow wallpaper in her room. She wants a different room. Says to her husband, "Can I get a different room?" She says to John, her husband, "No, no, no, this is the best room in the house. You have to stay in this room." But that wallpaper bugs her, and she's very upset by it. And that is pretty much what the movie is about. In the wallpaper itself is a very good example, I think, of what Sigmund Freud would have called the uncanny, something which is enormously familiar and yet at the same time very disturbing because of something it conjures up within us. And that is very much a big theme of this movie. The movie is named after The Yellow Wallpaper, and Jane is obsessed with the yellow wallpaper, and it bothers her. And sometimes we just have within the movie close-ups of that yellow wallpaper. But other things happen too. There are other people in the movie. At one point, Jane's brother shows up and plays a small part in the story. So various things happen, but not much happens. This is mainly a story of obsession. It has been called, the story and the movie have been called stories of studies of postpartum depression. And that's a way of looking at it. And that's probably, at least on one level, what it all is. But it's all more mysterious than that, the way the movie sort of sucks us in and makes us be almost as afraid of that wallpaper as poor Jane is. We don't have to look at it as often as she does, but we see plenty of it. The Yellow Wallpaper is a movie that I really liked. It's strange. It's unsettling. It sort of brings me into a kind of a place I've never been before. I've certainly seen movies about 19th century houses before, but not one that focuses a lot on the wallpaper and on the sort of surroundings and on the growing sense of menace that somebody undergoes. And I like that about it. The movie has one really major weakness. and that is that the acting is not very good, and particularly the actor who plays Jane, our main character, who is in almost every, certainly in every scene of the movie and in almost every shot of the movie, is just played in a very flat, uninflected, uninteresting way. Perhaps it was deliberate on the filmmaker's part, but for me, it did not work. And having a really, really weak central performance like that really undermines a movie, which is really just about the way people are behaving in a particular environment. That aside, I really liked the way Pantuti directed the movie. It's a visually very interesting movie, a very, very ominous and menacing movie, and I found it very effective. It's a sort of a horror movie, but purely psychological horror movie. There's probably nothing supernatural going on here. So again, if you're interested in that story, certainly, and I'm sure many of our listeners have read the story by Charlotte Perkins Gilman, then this is by all means a movie to see. If you're interested in psychological horror, ditto. Check it out. It's worth seeing. It's unusual, it's flawed, but I was pretty much absorbed by it all the way through. Our second movie today is also a female-centered horror movie of sorts, but a very different kind of movie. It's called You Won't Be Alone, and it was written and directed by Goran Stolevski. And it was filmed in Serbia, and it's largely a Serbian production, although the post-production work on it was done in Australia. So it's a very international production, actually. And again, it's a horror movie, but a very unusual one. And it couldn't be more different from The Yellow Wallpaper, which takes place pretty much in one house and it centers on a very small number of characters. You Won't Be Alone moves around a lot more than that. So we begin with a young woman. Who has just had a baby, and a witch shows up, a very horrible looking witch with a sort of a hideous red face shows up, and wants to claim the baby for some reason. Apparently the witch has dibs on this baby, and the mother pleads with the witch, please at least let me watch her grow up, come back and take her when she's 16 years old. And the witch sort of reluctantly agrees to that for some reason, although she puts a mark on the baby's face, so this will not be forgotten. The mother then spirits the baby away and puts her into a place sort of surrounded by hills and mountains. Actually, it's more of a cave where she puts her in, and raises her there. So this child grows up all alone in this isolated place and has had no experience of the world. And then sure enough, the witch shows up to claim her. Well, the witch doesn't exactly just get her. Things get more complicated than that. What happens is that the girl is then taken by the witch at the age of 16, and the two of them go off. But it turns out that the baby, who is now this 16-year-old girl, whose name is Navina, is going to have a very different experience. She sees the witch do something. She sees the witch rip open a body and eat the heart of the body, and then turn into that creature, which happens to be a dog. And then turns out our young main character, Navina, discovers that she can do that too. She can consume a part of another body and then become that body, whether it's a person or an animal. Well, then, for the rest of the movie, she spends most of her time going from one body to another. And this is what the movie is really about, and it's what makes the movie interesting. When she is first among people, she discovers something. She discovers a lot of things because she's never been among people before. But she discovers that society, and by the way, this is quite a long while ago. It's somewhere in Macedonia, and we're dealing with people back, again, in the 19th century. She discovers that it's a very patriarchal society. The men have all the power. The women are treated in a pretty awful way. And then we begin to realize that this movie, You Won't Be Alone, is kind of a feminist movie. Our main character is a woman, and she discovers the many burdens of being a woman because she grew up apart from people. And when she gets among people, she discovers things she didn't know before. Then, over the course of the movie, since she changes to many different bodies and lives many different brief lives in these different bodies, always at her own age, but moving from one body to another, one set of experiences to another, some of the time she's a man. And then she discovers what it's like to be a man and be in the sort of the patriarchal power position. And that becomes a part of the story as well. And all the time, remembering that the title of the movie is You Won't Be Alone, the witch is always hovering out there. And sometimes they have horrible breakups, and then the witch returns in a state of anger. And sometimes they're getting along okay, and the witch is always just hovering there. But you won't be alone. The witch is always out there, and our young main character changing from body to body can never quite shed the presence presence of the witch. She doesn't always see the witch. Maybe the witch isn't always around, but the witch's presence is felt throughout the movie. It's a good horror movie. It's beautifully done, and it's really technically just excellent and very, very surprising. It didn't quite click for me. It's an example of something which is fashionable nowadays, folk horror. And it's not my favorite kind of horror. So for me, the movie didn't click 100%. But it's gotten a lot of very, very fine reviews. It's playing in theaters now. I'm sure it will be streaming soon. And again, it's really beautifully done. So for an example of technically excellent folk horror, You Won't Be Alone is a really very, very good specimen of the breed. And our final movie today, Nitram, after talking about a couple of movies that take place in the 19th century, this movie is very, very current in a lot of ways. It takes place in the late 20th century, in the 1990s primarily, but it is very, very current, and it turns out to be something which is very much on all of our minds today. I'll get to that in a moment. Nitram, the title, is the name Martin spelled backwards, and we meet our main character, who is a young man, his name is Martin, but it turns out we discover well into the movie that his childhood nickname, which he hated because it was used to mock him, was Nitram, and he is a misfit. He just does not get along with the world. He is one of those loners. He lives with his mother and father. They have certain aspirations. They're looking forward to buying a new house and starting a new kind of life, maybe with a little bit of a ranch or a farm or something like that. And they really seem to love Nitram, and they really sort of dote on him, and they do their best to take care of him. But he is a young man, and he is very much a kind of out-of-control person. Most of the time, he just sort of sits around the house and doesn't do very much. When he does do something, it can often be something sort of destructive. Well, he makes a friend. He makes a friend who is a woman who he has never met before. He is trying to earn a little money by mowing lawns. And so he shows up at the home of this woman and offers to mow her lawn. And she says, well, okay, I guess you can do that. And they get to know each other. And before you know it, they develop a real relationship. It's not exactly a love relationship. It certainly is not a romantic relationship. But they become very close with one another. And Nitram is very grateful for this. However, something really weird happens along the way. The two of them go shopping for a car for her. And when they're out taking a test drive in the car, and the woman is driving, and Martin is sitting next to her, he reaches over and moves the steering wheel so the car almost goes off the road. And then he does it again so the car almost goes off the road. This is really, really, really dangerous behavior. It's sort of horrifying even as you watch the movie. And oh my gosh, you realize that Nitram is not just a misfit, not just a loner, not just a strange character, but there may be something in him which is really self-destructive or destructive. And he has just proved it in his behavior with his new friend, Helen. Well, the relationship with Helen gets closer and closer, and eventually he moves in with her, which strikes his parents as sort of weird. But hey, you know, they go along with it. That's all right. All right. They aren't quite sure they trust Helen. Then something really traumatic happens, which involves Nitram's destructive and self-destructive behavior, and the story takes a major turn, and we move on from there to what becomes the last portion of the movie, when we finally see Nitram do something that maybe it could have occurred to us might have happened. He goes out and he buys a bunch of guns. Well, when this happened, when I was watching the movie, I thought, now, wait a minute, Australia, which is, by the way, where the story is taking place, Tasmania, actually, this is an Australian production, Australia is really strict about guns. They have incredibly severe gun control laws. So how is it he's able to go to a huge gun store and go in there and buy all sorts of guns, which they sell him even though he doesn't even have a gun license? How can that be? Well, it turns out, and this is a little bit of a spoiler, but it'll let everybody know what the movie's really about. It turns out that we are leading up to a horrible incident involving guns. In fact, the very incident that made Australia tighten up its gun laws in a very strict and rigid and rigorous way. So this movie is now climaxing in 1996, when something really horrifying and traumatic happens. And we realize that the whole movie about this young misfit with destructive, self-destructive tendencies has been building up to this horrifying climax. And we also discover at the end of the movie, if we didn't know it already, this is all based on reality. Of course, it is fictionalized. Of course, this is is a fiction film. It's actors, they're reciting dialogue, etc. But it is all based very closely on what happened that led up to this horrifying incident in 1996. And at the end of the movie, don't leave the very second the last scene ends, because there is some text which lets us know, oh, you could just see this coming if you thought about it, that, yep, Australia has these really strict gun control laws ever since this 1996 incident, but they're not being implemented very strictly. There's all kinds of loopholes, and all kinds of guns are still circulating more now in Australia than back before this horrifying incident took place. It's all too much like America. It's all too much like so many places in the world. So Nitram is not a happy movie, but it's a very urgent movie and a very relevant movie, and it's beautifully done. Directed by Justin Kurzel, it has a terrific performance in the central role by Caleb Landry Jones, also playing his mother, Judy Davis, a wonderful, wonderful actor who I always think of as the beautiful, beautiful young Judy Davis. But, oh, she's gotten older, and she really lets it show in this movie, which is to her credit. It's a very forthright and courageous performance. Everybody in this movie, the acting is wonderful. It's a dark movie, but an urgent movie, and I think everybody ought to go see Nitram. That is my international story this week, Jill.
For which we thank you, as ever and always, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films The Yellow Wallpaper, You Won't Be Alone, and Nitram.